8 days to the Ecoban Joy News Habitat Fair. Welcome to Joy News Prime. We are coming to you from our studios here at Kokomlemle in Accra. We're live on DSTV channel 421, GoTV 125, and around the world on myjoyonline.com. I am Carlos Caloni.
And I am Faustina. So for tonight, one high court sentences a former human resource manager of Royal Cozy Hills Hotel to life imprisonment for the murder of the hotel's owner, Eric Johnson. We're live in the community for the very latest.
Also, teenage girls of Kwesi Chukrum Falls to use filthy, dark, foul-smelling pond water during their period or skip school entirely after the town's only water source was shut down due to illegal mining. More in our latest series, Dear Mahama, Stop Kalamse.
Also tonight, leadership of the governing National Democratic Congress is facing a ticking time bomb as grassroots, fueled by unmet expectations, demand jobs and appointments, as lofty promises in opposition meets harsh reality in government. We have details as the opposition and the NDC proposes the removal of political exposed individuals from government to make room for loyal party members.
And we have prime business.
IMF charges Ghana to strengthen public financial management to prevent the country returning into debt crisis. We have more from the ongoing IMF World Bank meetings in Washington, D.C., USA.
And later in Prime Sports,
Black Stars head coach Otuado skeptical about opening the door to players who rejected Ghana in the past.
Look at any option if it's in, if it could be a good addition. But we look at every case singularly. So if this is this player a committed player, if he's performing well, is he better than what we have at the moment?
Remember, we are your home of independent, fearless, and credible journalism.
A good time to take a seat and please be our guest.
Grateful for your time here on Joy News Prime. Now, the Wa High Court has sentenced a former human resource manager of the Royal Cozy Hotel, popularly known as Jirapa Dubai, to life imprisonment for the murder of the hotel's owner, Eric Johnson. In a unanimous 7-0 verdict, today the jury found Mr. Eliasu Mahama guilty after nearly a year of trial. Join us, Upper West Regional Correspondent Rafiq Salam, report.
Before the jurors were given the chance by the supervising High Court Judge Justice Alhaji Yusuf Asibe, the prosecution and the defense team were given at least 40 minutes to address the court, praying to the jurors as to whether the three accused persons are guilty or not of the three counts slapped on them. Former human resource manager Elisa Mahama, 32, front desk officer Belinda Miller, 23, and security personnel Kweku Konkumbata, 56, were accused of murder and abetment of murder of the owner and chief executive officer of Royal Cozy Hills Hotel, otherwise known as Jirapa Dubai, Eric Johnson, on February 11, 2024. After listening to them for more than 3 hours, coupled with a summary by the supervising High Court judge, the seven jurors retired for almost 20 minutes and returned with a verdict. All seven jurors unanimously found second and third accused persons, Belinda Miller and Kweku Konkumbata, not guilty of the charges and were therefore acquitted and discharged by the court.
You have been acquitted by the court. Are you a happy woman?
I don't want to talk to you.
The first accused, Eliasu Mahama, was however found guilty by all the seven jurors and was convicted by the court to life imprisonment. Eliasu Mahama, though found guilty by the jurors, told the court that he still maintains his innocence of the murder of his former boss, Eric Johnson. He stated that, quote, he is a mere man and can fight the law, unquote. He is happy that there is an avenue for appeal which he will pursue, adding that victory will be his one day. Principal State Attorney Lawyer Said Abdul Shakur, who led the prosecution, is however happy about the turn of events at the court today.
Black stained footprints are in the man's room. His fingerprints are in the man's room. What are they doing there? And he said that for over 40 days he had not entered the place. But these were fresh in the pool of the blood, his footprints and his fingerprints. He could only be the one who killed Eric Johnson. And the jury has returned a guilty verdict. And I think that is fair and just.
More excited was the lawyer for the second and third accused persons, Bagoluru Luanga Sanye.
We also want to thank the judiciary, the judge and the juror, for being fair, unbiased, and they have come out with a verdict, unanimous, 7-7 in favor of A2 and A3. We thank God for everything. See, law is something that you must learn and practice. And with my stint practice of the law, at least 17 good years as a lawyer, I know what to do and what not to do. But I am not alone. I also have seniors who I usually consult, and they also aid me.
We also attempted to speak to the lawyer for the first accused, Clement Enedi, and he told us that he wouldn't speak to us, but he assured us that he was going to go for an appeal.
I say we will go on appeal. No further comments.
Reporting for Joy News, Rafiq Salam.
Well, Rafiq Salam joins us live from the community. Thank you so much, Rafiq. Rafiq, how is the Jurapa community reacting to this judgment, given how much attention this case has drawn in the Upper West region?
You know, the feeling at Juruba today is really fantastic, right from the courtroom up to Juruba. You know, Juruba is about 62 kilometers away from the regional capital. So each court day, they have to transport themselves from Juruba to the one municipality, to the court, for them to listen with rap attention to see how the court case was panning out. And so today's ruling, really, they are happy. They are actually in the best of shape, and they are happy that at least victory, even though they know that they wouldn't get Eric Johnson, who is really an icon, who is somebody that is loved by the people. They wouldn't be able to get him alive again. But I think that justice somehow has been saved.
Well, we also understand lawyers for Eric Johnson have indicated they will be appealing this particular decision. Do we know when they want to do that?
It's really not lawyers for Eric Johnson. It's really the lawyer for the first accused in the person of Ila Shamama. Okay. Clement Iledi told us that he's somebody who gave his brief comment and says that they will pursue the path of an appeal. And even at the court, Elisha Mahama, who happens to be the former human resource manager of the Royal Cozy Hills Hotel, told the court that before he was convicted that he's just a mere man. I'm just quoting him, quote, he's just a mere man and that he cannot fight the law, unquote. Mm. And says that he thinks that now that he knows that there's a path for an appeal, he will pursue that course. And he knows that one day, he will be a victor. And so interesting scene at the court today. And then the prosecution and also the one of the defense lawyers and the person of Bagoluri, Luanga Sanye, they were really happy about the way things really panned out.
All right. Thank you so much, Rafiq, for those details.
Away from that, imagine being a teenage girl forced to choose between using filthy, dark, foul-smelling pond water during your period or skipping school entirely. That's the grim reality for girls at Kwesi Tri-Krom Basic School in the Agona East District of the Central Region. For 2 months now, they've lived without clean water after the Kwayanku headworks were shut down due to illegal mining. In our latest series, Dear Mahama, hashtag Stop Galamse, will tell you how illegal mining is robbing young girls of their dignity, health and hope.
In this classroom at Kwesi Tri-Krom Junior High School, lessons on clean water and hygiene are in full swing.
When you destroy our water bodies, now we know that you don't have even access to water. All our water bodies are being destroyed.
For girls like Irajua, a Form 3 pupil, menstruation turns school days into a struggle with fear, discomfort, and no clean water.
It's water crisis. We are not able to get water for our own human resources. And fetching from the offer is a bit challenging, especially using to cook, washing and bathing. And like I am a girl, and using this water when I'm menstruating is a bit difficult for me. But I have to adapt to it because of the crisis here. When there's no water, it's actually a bit challenging. So we adapt to it, but when you get enough water, you have to use it fast for us not getting all those infections and all those bacteria into us. At times, I can't use water because of how the water is, because the water has to be boiled and all those stuff. So when the water is not boiled and we don't usually use gas here, we use firewood, and I don't have time to boil it. So I have to use the water and come to school early.
Ghana has made strides in girl-child education. Enrollment has risen. More girls are staying in school, and conversations around menstrual hygiene have grown louder. But here in Kwesi Chukrum, a water crisis fueled by illegal mining threatens to erode those gains. For months now, taps have run dry following shutdown of the Kwenyaku headworks, unable to treat raw water from the heavily polluted Ayensu River. The Ofa Pond is their only source of water, dirty, murky, and smelling. For girls, this is where menstruation hygiene begins and ends. Some girls simply stay away from school during their period. Others like Irajua endure the discomfort, attending class but unable to focus.
I'm a Form 3 student and I'm a pair. Yeah, time indoors, so I have to remember school time numbers.
Robert Yankee is the science teacher here. He watches over these pupils and sees how the water situation steals both their time and their health.
Do you want the girl child to use this contaminated water to clean her genital part? It means that she'll be introduced or she'll be prone to more infections.
I will need the government to help us with the illegal mining water issue and to put a stop to illegal mining.
President John Dramani Mahama is unconvinced to declare a state of emergency on mining, on water bodies and forest reserves.
I've been reluctant to implement a state of emergency in the Galamsey fight because we've not exhausted the powers we even have without a state of emergency.
Here in Kwesi Chukrum, girls like Irajua live in a constant state of emergency. They are victims of rivers poisoned by illegal mining. If this is not an emergency, Mr. President, what is it?
Well, let's explore this further. Join me now is Nana Kweku Ajimandria. He's a medical doctor, to just give us a background to this. Doc, we appreciate your time here on Joy News Prime. Now, what are the possible health risks, really, for young girls who are forced to use contaminated water source during their menstruation?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for this opportunity. It's a very sad story. Just listening to the story, it really breaks my heart. There are so many health risks related to this, you know. They can get vaginal infections, right? Bacterial vaginosis, because the contaminated water contains these microbes that are microscopic organisms that can lead to infection around that side. Now, the infection can spread upwards into the pelvic area, right, into the reproductive system, leading to something we call pelvic inflammatory disease. Now, if this disease is not treated early, right, or treated in a timely fashion, it can now lead to infertility. It can lead to ectopic pregnancies later on in life if they are not careful. And sometimes it can even sometimes you can just get these urinary tract infections, recurrent urinary tract infections, right? You can get also what they call white, that's vaginal candidiasis. And all these things are certain things that can affect the child later on in life, because the child is washing the private part with dirty water, not knowing that in the future she can become infertile just by using this water to clean herself.
And this is quite worrying. What steps can they take, really, to protect themselves moving forward, knowing fully well that in the meantime, this is their only source of water?
Yeah, so like the girl said in the video, boiling the water helps. It kills a lot of these microbes. If you also have some way to filter it, a filtration system, that also helps. But boiling the water is the simplest way that you can do to kill most of the germs that can cause these infections.
Thank you so much, Doc, for your time here on Joy News Prime.
Well, still on health matter, the Health Facilities Regulatory Agency has closed down 18 health facilities in Kumasi, including the Kumasi Metropolitan Assembly Clinic, for operating without a valid license. Now, the enforcement exercise, which forms part of HEFRE's nationwide compliance campaign, uncovered several irregularities in both public and private health facilities. According to officials, the affected institutions had either failed to renew their operational licenses or were running without the necessary certification required by law. There's more in the following report.
HEFRE's National Compliance and Monitoring Team led the shutdown of various health facilities in the Ashanti region. The decision, according to HEFRE, is to safeguard public health and ensure that health facilities meet the minimum standards of quality and safety. Among the facilities affected were maternity homes, clinic and diagnostic centers located in various parts of the Ashanti region. The KMA clinic, which had been operating without a valid license for an extended period, was among the shutdown after several warnings went unheeded. According to the Director for Monitoring and Compliance at HEFRE, Dr. Ajiman Bedu, some of the closed facilities lacked qualified personnel, maintained poor sanitation conditions, and failed to adhere to basic infection prevention protocols.
The essence of our visit to Ashanti region is to make sure that the health services provision in this region, and by extension in Ghana, is safe for everybody. So we came here to look at facilities which have been operating without license and those which are operating with expired licenses. Additionally, we are looking at facilities which are using quacks to operate. I would say so far so good. We have been able to visit 20 facilities, and out of that we've been able to close down 18 of them. The exercise continues unabated. We intend to do more over the coming days.
The agency has also indicated that the ongoing enforcement will extend to many parts of the country to sensitize the healthcare system.
Our mandate says that we are to license all health facilities, both public and private. So we want to sound a warning to all the public health facilities as well, that the target is not private health facilities. We are coming after all health facilities, both public and private. So all health facilities in the country, labs, hospitals, clinics, maternity homes, ultrasound facilities and all that, should take steps to make sure that they comply with the law, so that Ghanaians will be safe wherever they go for healthcare services.
The compliance and enforcement team from HEFRE ended its operation at the KMA clinic where they shut down the facility. HEFRE has reiterated that every facility in the country operating without valid licenses would be shut down. From the Ashanti region, it moves to the Eastern region to continue with the shutdown of several facilities. For Joy News, Nana Bwachi Dankweyadom, Kumasi.
Well, let's now speak to the Registrar of the Health Facilities Regulatory Agency, Dr. Winfred Kualiteba. Grateful for your time here on Joy News Prime. Your agency seems to be putting health facilities on their toes. How many have you shut down so far?
Thank you very much and good evening to our listeners. So I must say that before we started this intensive exercise, we had closed down four facilities. In Greater Accra, we are closed down 23, so that's 27. And then in Ashanti, so far we've closed down 18. So we are around 44, 45 now.
Mm. But how did we get so many of these facilities operating without the required licenses?
Yeah, so that is the sad part. And I think that the cause is multifactorial. It's multifactorial. It's some from us, some from the facilities. I must say that some of the facilities have been recalcitrant. They know they have to renew their licenses, but they just do not want to do it. Probably because there were no sanctions or we were not enforcing the sanctions. And I think that is it. I also think that from our part, and it may not be totally our fault, HEFRA has some logistical challenges, so they've not been able to go to all the facilities the way they are supposed to go. And I think that is the reason why this is happening. But this is a new administration, and we have decided that we will not allow that to slide. We will not give any excuse. With what we have, let's get the right thing to be done. And that's why we are doing this.
Are you done with the Ashanti region, and where next are you going?
Yes, so we should be, not that we will be done, but we've given ourselves up to Friday in Ashanti region. But even after that, it will still continue. It's a continuous thing we are doing. But next week, we are looking at Eastern, and then we'll move to Central region.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking to us here on Joinist Prime.
Away from that, tonight, the leadership of the governing National Democratic Congress is actually facing mounting pressure from its grassroots, who are demanding jobs and appointments in the wake of the party's 2024 electoral victory. Party Chairman Johnson Esiedu Nketiah's Karen Thank You Tour in the voter region has done little to quell the growing discontent among supporters. Esiedu Nketiah's remarks on the latest leg of the tour underscore the gravity of the situation, emphasizing that the party's continued stay in office hinges on fulfilling its campaign vows. There's more in the following report.
Calls for jobs and appointments are growing louder across the grassroots base of the ruling National Democratic Congress. Some members of parliament, including Sam George and Nelson Dafiamekpo, called for a review of the age limit for recruitment into the security services. The growing agitation has not gone unnoticed by party leadership. On his thank you tour of the Volta region, National Chairman Johnson Asiedu Nketiah has been addressing concerns in various communities, including Afajato, where he told supporters their calls for job placements and appointments have been heard.
When you are doing appointments in Accra, there are certain things you may overlook. But when you go to the various communities, they draw your attention to something you may have overlooked. And so I'll carry the message to the president. That, Mr. President, the people of Afajato think that they deserve some more.
Asiedu Nketiah revealed that the upcoming recruitment into the security services will be conducted at the regional level, a move he says will ensure fairness and accessibility for local party members.
But we beg you, you know, it is never going to be possible for everybody to have appointment.
Admitting that the available appointments cannot satisfy everyone, the NDC chairman urged party supporters to remain patient and united as government works through its commitments.
So we beg you, let us forget about our differences and let us always remember that our common faith is tied together with the success of President Mahama.
But the conversation has since spread online, where Deputy General Secretary Mustapha Gbande has been responding to mounting social criticism. His solution is to clean up the public service space.
Governance, building a nation, you have a group of people who have come together to fleece your nation, steal everything, and you think that they should still be there? Directors who have gone in bed with politicians to steal money, and you think they should be there? The NDC people also have the right to work for the nation. It's about ideology. Our ideology is not the same as the ideology of the MPP when it comes to nation building.
As party leadership tries to douse the growing discontent, the message remains the same: patience, unity, and loyalty, even as many grassroots members wait for their share of the NDC's victory dividends. Michael Ashale, Joy News.
Still on politics, MPP flag bearer hopeful Brian Ichampon has dismissed a recent poll suggesting he holds just 1% support among the New Patriotic Party delegate, describing them as sponsored and unreliable. Addressing the media at his campaign office earlier today, Dr. Ichampon maintained that such polls do not reflect the true sentiment within the party, stressing that the only poll that matters will be the MPP's presidential primary on January 31, 2026. There's more in the following report.
The Abetifi MP Brian Ichampon revealed that individuals have approached his campaign with proposals to manipulate online surveys and shape public perception for a fee, but said he has declined to participate in any such schemes.
I'm here in this campaign office. Many people come with their polls that, you are winning, you are 90%, you are 70%. Give us money so that we go and put it in the papers, put it on online portals. I'm not interested in any of that. I mean, I've seen some polls that put me at 1%, and some aspirants who are not even going, who have not left their bedrooms at 20%. And it's quite interesting, some of these polls. So please, I'm not concerned about that at all.
Elsewhere, another flag-bearer aspirant of the NPP, Kennedy Ijapon, has made it clear he would not concede defeat prematurely if chosen to lead the New Patriotic Party into the 2028 general elections. During his campaign tour of the Savannah region, Mr. Ijapon said he would only recognize an election outcome after an official declaration by the Electoral Commission.
Until set, you betide the last constituency. Seven year presidential candidate, I will never accept defeat. I will never accept defeat until the Electoral Commissioner comes out to declare. I will not maintain the assembly. I will never.
Meanwhile, the party's 2024 flag bearer, Mahmoud Balmia, has taken his campaign to the Borno East region. The former vice president has reiterated his commitment to a clean and unifying campaign, stressing that personal attacks have no place in his leadership approach or political vision.
Kukurudu, midi miye ubia mipenkabum, mipenkabum pa eninti miye mi campaigna minkasanti ya ubia.
I want unity in the party. I conduct my campaign devoid of insults, and I will urge all my supporters to do so. If we insult each other while on the campaign trail, how can we unite to win power in 2028?
Kwabnam Ijapon and Yao Osei Edichum are also on the ground campaigning for votes.
Away from politics to other stories now, let's head to Obuasi, where six individuals, including a toddler and a mother, have sustained various varied degrees of injuries in a shooting incident in Obuasi. We'll give you details of that after this weekend.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for staying with us here on Joy News Prime.
To other stories now, six individuals, including a toddler and a mother, have sustained various degrees of injuries in a shooting incident at Obuasi Kwabinakwa in the Ashanti region. The toddler, who was shot in the leg, remains in critical condition, while others have been treated and discharged. Authorities confirm that some of the injured persons have been discharged from the hospital, but the toddler and his mother remain in critical condition. There's more in the following report.
A joyous celebration turned tragic at Obuasi in the Ashanti region when a man identified as Kofi Cole allegedly fired gunshots in the air, leaving a baby and five others injured. According to eyewitnesses, the suspect Kofi Cole fired the gunshots in celebration of a court victory in a chieftaincy dispute. Sources close to Love News reveal that the suspect joined the victors in the dispute, who went around the community with rickshaws in celebration of their victory. During the process, shots were fired into the air, leading to the injuries. Charles Abu is the assembly member for the Kwabenakwa electoral area. This is the first time I have heard about him firing shots, but he has often caused trouble in the area. Charles Abu says the suspect is known for notorious acts in the area.
When the first time I met him, my father told me that most likely the type of thing on the number of basa mu say be a say in Tokwani are the same. My father told me that when the first time I met him, what to do? Say be a snake man to die any minimum die.
According to the assemblyman, the toddler remains hospitalized. Law enforcement officers have also intensified patrols in the area to prevent any escalation of tension related to the chieftaincy dispute. Gun culture continues to be a challenge for security personnel, with the Ashanti region leading in recent statistics. For Joy News, Nana Bwachi Dankoyadom. Kumasi.
Well, away from that, a group of armed men dressed in military uniforms and masquerading as national security operatives have stormed the University of Ghana's Botemon Staff Housing Project to carry out nefarious activities, including vandalizing property and stealing. According to the university authorities, the brazen attack on their construction site have left staff shaken and property destroyed. More in the following report.
Tuesday, October 14, 2025. A chilling scene unfolded at the University of Ghana's Botemon campus, where a group of armed men dressed in military uniforms stormed the construction site of a 208-unit staff accommodation project. The men, accompanied by some civilians, left a trail of destruction and fear in their wake, smashing property and making off with cash and personal belongings. The alleged armed men, believed to be encroachers on the land, attempted to take control of the site. A security personnel, Wahab Napa, witnessed the mayhem.
There were like 10 military personnel and almost 150 civilians.
They were in uniform.
They were in uniform.
The National Security Secretariat swiftly condemned the attack, denying any involvement and vowing to track down the imposters. Richard Japa is Director of Operations at the Secretariat.
Do all that possible for them to be able to carry out their projects. Any other party that is claiming ownership to the land must come forward. No. Through the investigation, we'll get to know the faces and those behind it. We invite them to come, and they should come and give us evidence as to their ownership of the land and why they came to misconduct themselves and then vandalize properties here and beat people and stole items. We'll get to the bottom of it. For now, there's nothing conclusive.
The Vice-Chancellor of the University of Ghana has pledged to work closely with national security to restore calm and ensure peaceful occupation of the campus. Prof. Nanaba Pianfo says the university is determined to protect its staff and property from such acts of violence and intimidation.
So we have come here, as you can see, together with national security to come to the bottom of this. The University of Ghana, it is the bona fide owner of this land, and we will work together with national security and the government to ensure that we have peaceful occupation of this land. As you can see, we are in the process of starting the construction of 208 apartments for staff accommodation.
Michelle Latish reports, read to you.
Well, away from that, let's do some NSMQ. The stage is set and the buzz is back, and it's bigger than ever. The 2025 edition of the National Science and Maths Quiz has officially been launched, featuring 174 participating schools, the highest number yet in the competition's history, from first-timers to well-known contenders. Excitement is building as the quest for supremacy begins. My colleague Jacqueline Ansumayebwa has more in the following report.
It's official. The 2025 National Science and Maths Quiz is here, and this year's edition promises to be the most thrilling yet, with 174 schools competing, up from 157 last year. The contest has shattered its own record for participation, according to the managing director of Primetime Limited, Nana Ekia Mensah-Bonsu. This year's edition will not only be bigger, but also more exciting and full of surprises.
Like I always say, the usual fireworks. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of surprises. Even with the contestants or the participating schools, we have 15 new schools that are participating, and some of them were in Port A, so you have to watch out for them. Wovenu and Mankisi Message Seers, you have to watch out for them. It's the 30th, but the 32nd year. There were 2 years in which we didn't do it because there was no funding for it. And yes, we are prepared. There's been a lot of back and forth and so on, but yes, we are prepared, and it's going to be a great production as usual.
On his part, the Minister of Education, Haruna Idrisu, pledged government's commitment to support STEM education. He revealed that 9.6 million Ghana cedis has been made available by the government to support the competition. The
platform is provided and dedicated to you to show brilliance. So shine, 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 and arise with science and maths. You are assuring me of a Ghana which has a future. A Ghana that is committed to STEM, we are told, even improves economic growth. The countries that has dedicated support and elevate the study of science and mathematics is more likely to do better in its economic growth than other areas. In the age of social media, which has become a toxic source of misinformation, it's important that I place on record that the government of President Mahama made available to Prime Time 9.6 million to support the National Maths and Science Quiz.